Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. Mojuba Olodumare. I praise the God, the Creator. I praise the God of the heavens. I praise the God of our worldly affairs. I praise the God of today. Today is the child of God. Tomorrow is the child of Olodumare. Day after tomorrow is the child of God. My good fortune is the child of Oludemare, and so it shall be. And we all say, Ashe, Ashe, O Ashe. You are listening now live to The Divine Prince, Pan African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye, Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test and a challenge and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, my personal affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize, place from where I handle all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine all-blessed reality. And so it is. Elasti Ashe. Today is Monday, August 28th, 2017. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, High Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, most enchanted, and some would say most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist, who do obey a life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. I'm always humbled and honored by those of you who greet me here at this squared circle of gods and goddesses at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio for the Power Lunch. Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. My website is www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to open your mic and invite you into this conversation. Be mindful, we do not do live personal readings here on the show. If you need a personal reading, if you need a consultation, if you have questions that you would like to discuss with me, please send me a direct email to divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. You can also visit my website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And as always, before I move forward, I want to evoke spirit of Eshu Oloroye Agolegwa Kosi Weri Awono Uto Onilio Aban Eshu. Eshu is our respected elder who confronts, flogs, and uncovers fools that one versed in mysteries uses truth to own you. He calls us gathered to feed poverty. Obatala mi ita ni ibo Onilio Aban Eshu. To feed poverty, Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Eshu. And today we speak truth to power, knowledge to wisdom, activated in our demonstration, because spiritual knowledge and power lies in its efficacy and its ability to produce and manifest powerful, tangible, reliable, lasting results right here and right now in this divine moment in time space. All else is conversation. All else is ego. All else is an illusion. All else is vanity. And today, indeed, in the ritual cycle of things in ATR, we acknowledge power that is Eshu. For those of you who truly understand the mystery of Eshu, Eshu is neither male nor female, but is the primordial mound in Yoruba tradition. We have amalgamated him, if you will, here in the West into a trickster like form. And anytime we try and express something in the man's words, anytime we try and express something in English, anytime we try and express something in a language other than that which birthed these mysteries, then we are often taking things out of context. When we think of tricksters, we generally imagine folk characters and cultural heroes, not God, not deity, not Orisha. Tricksters either tend to be associated with animal spirits like coyote in Native American culture, or Promethean figures, archetypical humans who interact with and upset the world of the gods. But one of the world's greatest and most interesting trickster figures is not only a god in Orisha, but a deity of great high metaphysical content. Eshu Alegbara, one of the Orisha, one of the original Orisha, the West African deity that are worshipped in many ATR traditions throughout the world now, but particularly here in the West, birthed directly from the Yoruba culture and ethnicity for my DNA students, has now traveled the diaspora and has taken on many coats, many forms, which is true to who Eshu is, because Eshu is said to be able to transform itself into anything, provided we understand the origins of Eglegbara being light, the child of light, the star of light, if you will. Now, while he embodies many obvious trickster elements, some would say deceit, humor, lasciviousness, sexuality, Eshu Alegbara is also the deity of communication and spirit language. He is the gatekeeper between the realms of man and God, the tangible lines of force that make up the cosmic interface. And his sign is the crossroads, In the figure of Eshu Alegbara, the West African tradition makes a profound argument about the relationship among spiritual communication, divination, and the peculiar chaotic qualities of the trick. But before we investigate Eshu Alegbara's character, we must put him in a general context of Orisha worship. The deities of the Fon and Yoruba people of West Africa are some of the most vital and intriguing beings ever to pass through the minds of humanity. The Orisha are profoundly living deities. If by this we mean archetypes or constellations of images and forces that actively permeate the psychic lives of humanity, then indeed we're talking something greater than God, greater than consciousness itself. On the simplest level, they are alive and active, as we are as humans, because they are placated, invoked, ritually fed by millions of people in both Africa and the Americas. We feed archetypes. If you understand what an archetype is and how archetype is created, in common language, archetypes are created by a common belief, something we see and accept that become symbolic of something without that literal word or literal thing being present. The triangle, the pyramid, the cross become archetypes based on our usage of, our feeding, our invoking of that symbolism under a unified definition. Not only are the deities alive, but they are long-lived, unlike contemporary neo-pagan deities, which have basically been reconstructed from the ashes of history. The Orisha have been passed through the countless generations of worshipers with very little interruption, even during the Middle Passage. And thus, this is how the deities of the Fon, the Yoruba, made their way here into the West. When we look at Eshu from a quantum metaphysical perspective, we are in that moment of change and transformation. We are in the moment of action, activity. We are in the moment of doing. And so there's always the trick there, the risk there. Do I go left or do I go right? Do I do the right thing? Do I do the wrong thing? Do I adjust my choice? Do I adjust my decision? And so therefore, Eshu is often seen as a questioning deity. You ask something very specific, and Eshu will often respond to you in a question or with a parable that will provoke you to question. And Eshu, unlike many of the other deities, can speak through every Odu, can speak through every sign, all 256 Odu. For those who are not familiar with the language I'm speaking right now, you can't have Voodoo. You can't have ATR without Odu, without divination. Odu unto itself is a deity. Odu unto itself is a force. And so without the word, without the definition, without spirit speaking in a clear and concrete form, then like the neo-pagans, we are often operating on emotion, politics, on spirit, and I dare say on faith. That's the same position of the faithful. That's the same position of the faith-based person. And one of the distinctions that drew me deeper to Voodoo, something that was already in me, something that I already knew, something that was already in my DNA, was the awareness, the consciousness that I was not a victim, that I was not subject to the realm of some force outside of myself or some great blessing that will come the next day or in the hereafter, if you will, as opposed to having something more tangible that we can lay our hands on right now in the moment at the crossroads. When you need to make the choice, when you need to make the decision, when you need to confront life on life's terms, when we start getting into handling our bills and handling our lives and handling our relationships and handling our career and handling our business, we are getting into the crossroads now. We can speak and wax religious and spiritual and metaphysical and political, all we want. And we as a people, particularly colored folk, have mastered speech. Speech is one of the domains of Eshu, by the way. Eshu is said to be a master communicator, a master speaker, and he bridges spirit world with the tangible, often through language. There are deities that don't speak outright, audibly, I should say, as opposed to outright, in ceremony. But Eshu will speak for them. In the Lakomi tradition, in the Santeria tradition. Your shells are consecrated under Eshu, and it is the shells of Eshu that are birthed to speak often for all the deities first. Eshu is often depicted as a single chrism parafeather called an ikodede. The feather stands prominently upright on the forehead, which represents enlightenment, pure thought and intention, one that has no burdens weighing it down. Light as a feather, bright crimson red is a beacon of attracting Ashe. It's also symbolic of Erosan or blood, menstrual blood. You might have seen newly initiated Ifa practitioners with the Ikodide on their forehead. So we have to acknowledge in all things the elusive spirit nature that is not only Eshu, but that is life and life itself. Have many people, many systems, many programs, many leaders out there representing consciousness, representing the Black community, representing the La Raza, representing the grassroots element of our community. And again, Eshu being the master user of language, the master communicator, is best at the manipulation of words. And we often, for social reasons, political reasons, pop cultural reasons, lock in on keywords. We do it in social media. We do it in our posting to increase the viewership, to increase the likelihood that someone's going to sort of stop and pay attention. We see it used in commercial enterprises, in our TV and our radio advertisements, how products and services are sold to us 24 hours a day, at a subconscious level, at a literal level, to invoke us to do things without thought, without meditation, without stopping long enough to set ego aside and be clear about what we know, be clear about the facts, be clear about the details, and then set that aside. And then be able to organically operate in the realm of spirit. Operating in the realm of spirit is always a risk. Operating in the realm the word escapes me right now. But the word that I'm looking for means being able to have foresight, being able to see into the future, being able to see beyond maybe what others might be seeing, what the group might be locked in on. There is a group think that often occurs in society, where we, again, attach a language, an understanding to an archetype, to an idea, to a set of words, and then we as a group, as a community, sort of gather that. When we say Black people are going to vote this direction, we're operating in that vein. When we divide us up by sex identity, by race, by economics, there is an attempt always to manipulate the target audience to the message. So when we are hearing these leaders, these groups, and their proselytizing of information, of knowledge, supposed life-changing knowledge, something you got to have right now, something that's got to go viral right in this moment, we've got to always stop and ask ourselves, what is the motivation? What is the push to feed this particular dialogue, not only to the community, not only to ourselves, but then to our spirit? What is the result that is thought to come from it? What is the manifestation that is thought to come out of that? As practitioners of magical ritual art, ATR, but also those of you who are believers and followers of law of attraction and positive thinking and many other ways of reprogramming your consciousness to create and recreate the reality that we truly want to operate in. We cannot over speak on the value of our words, the gravity of what we say. Understanding that before it comes out of your mouth, before it makes its way to the post, it first has to be crystallized in consciousness. It first has to be crystallized in what we believe. And that doesn't mean that we always say what we believe. Oh, that's a cute baby. And you know that baby might not be cute at all, but it might be socially acceptable. It might be the right thing to do in the moment for you to say, that's a cute baby. Okay, so it's not a truth. Within your spirit, within your crystal, within your dome, within your head, before those words escape your mouth, the ashe is already released. That's why their book, their Bible, talks about, there's a passage that I can't remember where it is right now, about seeing a woman and lusting for her with your eyes, and so you've already committed that act of that sin through your eyes. And so it, again, speaks to how things first crystallize in what I call the myth, in consciousness, in the spirit realm, that faith, that act of faith that we all have as humans, as representatives of the God particle, as representatives of God, supposedly created, molded in the image of God, co-creators with God, we first have that ability to speak things into existence, crystallize things into existence through speech. And there's a vibrational pattern that's carried through speech. There's nothing like hearing it, you know, right there in person. But there's also a vibration that's released at the conscious level. The God part of us, the higher evolved part of us, emits that signal even before it leaves your mouth. And that's why, Big Mama, I always know when you're lying. That's why Big Mama can always, forgive me, y'all, for the background noise. That's why Big Mama's always able to pick up on truth organically in that moment, because it rides with an energy. It rides with a vibration. And so Eshu lives at the crossroads of all existence. At life, on life terms, where the rubber meets the road is where Eshu relishes. And so the trick is often us being too big in our ego, us not being able to stand back sometimes out of our humanity, out of our physicality, and all the laws that bind us to the realm of physical science and physical math, into our higher self, into that spirit domain, into that God consciousness, where we're able to see things first from an objective viewpoint, because there's no ego there. Ego can't enter that space. Carnality can't enter that space. Your pride and all that other muck and stuff can't enter that space. So it is not a space that, unlike all other doors, doesn't have a key that Eshu holds. Again, it is the mystery. When we look at meditation, transcendental meditation, and for some of you, it's a struggle to get into that space, to get into that zone. Some of you don't truly understand what's supposed to happen. What am I supposed to experience? What's supposed to take place when I'm meditating? What does that mean? And so some of you are meditating in silence, and some of you are meditating, you know, with music or something going on in the background. But meditation takes place in the mist, in that crystal in your head, in that dome where your brain begins and your consciousness extends. It is in that realm that connects us between the physical and the spirit, the earthly humanity of who we are, and then the divinity, the cosmic nature of who we are. And there is a gatekeeper there. It is first guarded by our own fear, our own anxiety, our own foolishness, our own belief. I remember when I first transcended that door. I was in New York City, 1988, 33rd floor of my building, 110th and Cathedral, if you know where that is. My balcony sort of overlooked the ice skating rink. That was the place where I first realized there was a door that could be transcended in consciousness. And that's where I first heard the voice of God, if you will, the voice of the Creator, if you will. And it was a uniform voice. It wasn't a group, it wasn't a chorus, it wasn't male or female, it was a unified voice. And it spoke with clarity. And it asked, was I willing to give up what I thought I knew? Was I willing to give up what I thought I understood? Was I willing to give up what my parents taught, what my pastor taught, what my people believed, to experience wholly and organically what we call God, what we call creative space, if you will? And in that moment, of course, I said yes, and apparently it was organic, and I was gifted the key, and that door opened up for me. And once you enter, you can't go back. There's no going back. That's part of the anxiety and the organic fear that many people have about real, true, organic spirit evolution. Real, true, organic spirit revelation and contact. I remember a pop cultural image of Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost, you know, after playing the psychic for so many years, after perpetrating the psychic reader for so many years, having a real organic spirit in the moment that liked it, killed her, liked it, gave her a stroke in that moment, and how it changes forever your perception about what's real, how it changes forever your perception about what God and Goddess is, how it changes forever your perception about what healing is and what ritual work is and what spirit magic is. And for those of you who have never had that experience, it shows up in your demonstration. It shows up in your ego. It shows up in your foolishness. It shows up in how you walk blindly scenarios that could harm you, that could kill you. And it's why my godmother, may she rest in her room, Mama Yaya, used to say, baby, y'all getting by on your ancestors. You're getting by on your ancestors. Our ancestors protect us from our own foolishness. Our ancestors protect us from our own folly. Our ancestors can see what we can't see and perceive and absorb in the moment. And so they are our strength and our foundation of, as practitioners of ATR tradition. Lakomi, Santeria, Yoruba, Voodoo, Palo, Candomblé. If anyone's operating in these traditions organically, authentically, honestly, foundation and are operating within the realm of your ancestors. And there's nothing there in that space that you would not want to know, you would not want to absorb, you would not want to have access to, you would not want to obtain to strengthen and fortify your position in this Babylon that we all live in and all operate in on a daily basis. We are fighting danger seen and unseen, jinn known and unknown. And they mask as friends and family, frenemies. They mask as those leaders in our communities, those wannabe leaders in our community. They mask in a pop cultural sense, in the internet, where people of like mind and like spirit are able to come together. And that is a two-edged sword, because it also means that people of a negative mind can also come together and feed that. And people of a positive mind can also come together and feed that. But who is the discerner? Who is the guide? And we hear often today in pop culture, you know, I follow my spirit. I see your hands, I'm coming. And we got time. This is an hour show. So give me 60 seconds and I'm coming to the phone line. We see and we hear, you know, and we meme in social culture, you know, but I follow my spirit. But how much time have we dedicated to the purification of spirit? There was a time I talked daily about what we eat and what we drink. And some of you got bored with that, the topics of being vegan and being a vegetarian or a flexitarian, as I am myself, you know, or even the consideration of diet, exercise, mineral content, the pollution in our water and our food, and how that too plays out in consciousness. We have unfortunate generations now of the crack baby, and we're going to have the meth generation and all these children now who are being affected even before birth by pollution. And so we say, oh, I follow my spirit. I follow my own mind. And so we can't look at voodoo without the E-way, without the plant. And this is not a prejudice, but I'm going to call your area codes first in the order in which I received them. 504 is first. That's why I said it's not a prejudice. But I love my New Orleanians. I love my local New Orleanians. I appreciate your comments and your criticisms and your support. It all goes to feeding Voodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. Area code 504. And of course, when I have more than one person in your area code, I'm also going to call out your first three numbers. I believe they call that your extension, 942-504-942. Your mic is open. And who's with us today? Did you have a question or comment? Okay, I'm going to come back to you.
Hi.
Area code 949. Peace and blessings. Are you with me? Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Peace and blessings, Todd. This is Paul from Denver.
Peace and blessings. Are you actually in Denver or are you in California?
No, I'm my journey's brought me back to Denver.
Well, give thanks. So, I'm certainly glad to have you call in.
Yeah. And you know, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. You know, I've been calling in from different numbers, listening for the last several months. And, you know, some of the things that you've touched on today have really, it's resonated a lot in what I've literally, I'm new and I'm learning. And I'm literally finding things that, you know, you always question things. And when you don't see the things that make sense. And when you start to understand, believe, and begin to see truth, it's a shock. And so, as I said, I am fresh in it, but I have, as you know, have witnessed a lot. And so the things that I could not understand, things are becoming a little bit more clear. And so I'm just, you know, just happy that I've had and will have further opportunity to learn and to revamp some of the, I can only surmise this as being brainwashed and just not, you know, and I think that in the tricksters and the way that we, myself, have been my own biggest trickster, that I have really come to understand that this, as you said, so many, and sometimes you may say something or think something, and you really mm-hmm. don't know the full truth of what you've seen until you've really, really experienced the truth of it. So you may
That's
make
right.
mistakes. I've made mistakes on my way, and but I can tell you that the jinxers, the very things that we think we know, it's almost just, it's mind-boggling to really see and to understand it.
That's right. That's right. And listen, I certainly agree with you. And as always, I'm here for you, both on the air and off the air, along your journey. You and I will forever be friends and partners along this spirit journey. And I most certainly do appreciate you calling in. I'm going to come right back to you, but I do have some other hands raised. And I want to go back to 504-942. Is that D. LaToya?
Yes, it is.
Girlfriend, don't be calling me, disappearing on me like that when I open your mic.
My phone was on mute. I didn't realize my phone was still on mute.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you so much. So I was calling in when you were talking about the time that you heard the voice and you heard the calling. I had and people that have not had that experience are almost, you know, but still are trying to practice inside of a spiritual form or what have you, that it's not necessarily authentic. I had that same experience where I literally heard my name, but I was in the house by myself. And it was with my first son. I was pregnant. And it took, the first time I heard my name, it took me by surprise, but the name called three times. And ever since that moment, things that come as a message or direction or path or signs, they always continue for threes for me. But I had that moment. Well, what happened in that moment, it didn't spark anything in me initially. I knew what was happening, but my closest relation to that was the story in the Bible. Where, you know, it happens, so I can't recall the exact story, but a similar character in the Bible had that same story happen, and that was my only experience with any spiritual presence was through church. You know, I grew up in a Catholic church, but what happened was I became almost like a sponge, and I didn't realize it until I was probably about 22 or 23. I started getting diagnosed with all these anxieties and depressions and things, and I didn't understand where these things were coming from. I had never been, you know, this type of person, but I was literally soaking up everything, all these different ideals, all these presents, all this talk, all of these things were just being taken on by me, and I was toting them all, not really discerning what was for me and what was not. So, you know, I did the medication thing and all that. And then when I finally decided to take control of what was going on in my own mind, with my own spirit body and my own worldly body, that's when I started to get very clear direction, very clear connection with spirit and with God and, you know, with our ancestors and started looking for my ancestors. What was their history? Where did they come from? You know, what did they do? What did they practice? Who did they call to? And as I started to connect my spirit body with my world body, all of those diagnoses started to kind of fade away. I was no longer this, you know, petrified individual, scared of everything, anxious about this, you know, unsure, nervous. All of those things just kind of faded away as I decided to allow myself to be more clear in what directions did my ancestors take? You know, what direction am I being led to? What path am I on? Those things aren't are and are important and were important to me at that time and continue to be important. And the messages when I pay homage to my ancestors into the path and I ask questions and I keep myself open to receive messages through them and from them, that's when I know that those things come in threes. Well, this is who you need to go see. This is who will contact you. This is who you speak to. Those things start getting put in my path. So it's definitely more organic. And when you have an experience, a spiritual experience, whether it comes in your name being called, some people feel it, you know, when they're about to die, they have a life or death moment. You have to make sure that you know to protect yourself, because you do become like a target in the spiritual form when you are opened up in that way.
That's right.
And you're not mindful, you don't take control.
That's right. And I also agree with what Paul said about it's a process of evolution, really.
Yeah.
The minute you think you have clarity, the minute you think you have understanding, the minute you are operating, you know, from within your ego, you know, you have to relearn that lesson again. And I like the old song about Jacob's ladder, each realm goes higher and higher. I think there's a metaphysical, almost a magical ritual meaning and symbolism behind that. And I look at the twist and the strand of DNA. I look at the motion of spirit as it enters higher coordinates into the lower earth zone, into our consciousness, into our physical reality. And I often see that spherical, that conical movement, that conical motion. There's a mathematical name for it now that escapes me, where you see slices of the shell or different repeated patterns that are often not able to be counted in the way that we count in old arithmetic, and there's a name for it. Say that again.
Which
okay,
one?
I thought somebody had it.
For
that spiral design that we see often. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is we have a limit placed on us just within Earth, just for being physical, just for being human, that our spirit body is able to transcend beyond. And so we grasp reality as we're able to take it. You don't eat a baby steak, you know, you give it milk and you give it soft foods and you work your way up to more complex food items and more complex spices even. When we look at the physical nature of growing from an infant to a child, to an adolescent, to a teen, to an adult. And we often don't have the structure spiritually, even within these religions, like De La Toya mentioned, Catholicism. I grew up in the evangelical environment. I know Paul had some exposure to religion, but maybe quite not like the two of us have had. But it's ingrained, enmeshed in our culture, in our holidays, in many of these advertisements that are already gearing up to get your Halloween money, that are already gearing up to get your Thanksgiving money, that are already gearing up to get your Christmas money. And then there have these archetypes, these symbols, this imagery, this pumpkin and the jack-o'-lantern and the scarecrow, and then the turkey that jerk at your subconscious, that jerk at your emotional response to things. And I want to say also, as Paul was speaking, that a great deal of this is consciously controlled. It's not random. It's not by accident. They want you to be confused. They want you to be thrown off. They want you to not spend time making sense of things and to just follow blindly and follow loyally, like the ant, you know, like the bee, in concert in an army-like structure. And we, having God consciousness within us, were not created to operate in that vein. We were created to be active co-creator, We were not meant to follow blindly. We were not meant to all look the same, wear the same, act the same, be the exact reflection of one vibration. When we look at the spectrum of light and use that as a symbolism of what God is, clearly God created diversity. God provokes diversity. And often in this culture, diversity is fought against. And we have to begin to look at why. Not just the hate, not just the reasons for the sexism and the homophobia and the racism, but we have to begin to dissect and look at the reasoning behind the why, particularly when the why knowledge is beneficial to us. My friends, you have no idea how powerful you are. You have no idea the power, the wisdom, the magic contained within your colors. You have no idea. When we pass light through the prism, through the quartz crystal, we see a spectrum of light, red and yellow, pink and green, purple, orange and blue, violet, your purples, your ultraviolet. We see color. And we understand the science behind vision, why we're able to see as humans, why we're able to view our reality through these physical eyes, the imagery within our crystal, within our head, within our own myth that we do. We have to begin to step beyond just science, just physical science, to quantum science, quantum metaphysics, quantum understanding. And as our science continues to move forward and evolve, so too must our consciousness. Consciousness at the societal level is decades, if not hundreds of years behind, even where our technology is today. We are bombarded with a plethora of information through our gadgets. We're getting it through the internet. You're binging it, you're Googling it, you're searching it. It's in your TVs, it's on your billboards, it's everywhere. Even the individual that says, oh, well, I don't watch TV, I don't read the newspaper, I don't watch the news. You are still existing in a culture of overstimulation from the signals, from the messages, from this symbology, from these archetypes that have a predetermined result-oriented vibration attached to them. And so, not as an excuse that there's something outside ourselves that are forcing a change within us, there's a relative truth to that. But as gods and goddesses, as people operating at a higher level of consciousness, we know that there's a level of responsibility, a level of acceptability, a level of accountability that we first hold as individuals to how we function within this environment, how we allow this information and this stimuli to affect us. We can't easily go with the flow. And I probably should not say easily, but we can choose to go with the flow and accept all the negatives that come with trying to go with the flow. And many of us have done that. Many of us have attempted to live within this society, to mask as a society would have us to mask, to perpetrate and to pretend so that we can sort of go along with the status quo, if you will, the pop cultural realities, if you will, to do what everyone else is doing. But then there's that 5% and that 2% that are called, that are chosen by spirit, that are called, that are chosen by your ancestors, that are called, that are chosen, predetermined by this universal consciousness to do more, to bring more, to create more, to make change. And if you are listening to this show, if you survive 55 minutes of this show, you are called to this message. And we're here for more than just ourselves. We're here for more than just our own end. We are here for more than just our own self-gratification. We are here to do things, to direct things, to move things forward that our ancestors are pushing through us, are pushing within us, that the divine creators are pushing through us and are pushing within us. That's why it's revolutionary. Voodoo has always been revolutionary. Voodoo has always been revolutionary. West African and African spirituality and religion and consciousness has always been revolutionary in the world. In the time of Timbuktu, in the time of the great archives and libraries of East and West Africa, in the time that the Greeks and the Romans and the world traveled to the motherland to absorb our sciences, to absorb our inner standing. It's always been great. It's always been revolutionary. It's always been trend-setting. It's always been ahead of time. It's always been futuristic. And indeed, those of us, the children of this star-fed energy, are too called to bring forward this truth, this light, this color within us, through us, and around us. I know for me, and I'm only going to speak for me right now, many of my struggles, I don't care where they originated, I don't care who to blame, often were directly associated with my refusal to get with this, the acceptance of this call, this spirit call, to do what spirit and our ancestors are pushing us to do in this moment in time space. We've been singing the dawning of the age of Aquarius since the 60s and the 70s. We've been speaking about new mind and new consciousness and right wisdom and right understanding since the 50s and the 60s. It is time now to stand up within that. We've also grown and evolved in terms of how we feed ourselves, how we explore nurturing our physical bodies. And you can't keep putting in bullshit and expect spirit and light and roses and glitter to come out. We can't keep eating bullshit and expecting light to emerge from within us and around us. We cannot keep digesting BS and expect light and divinity to exist within us and around us. We can't keep eating the carcasses of dead animals, of musk and pus and mucus of cows and chickens and expect us to get life and understanding. We can't keep digesting pop cultural hatred, racism, and BS. We can't keep absorbing depression. These things are pop cultural now. They are humorous now. They are cute. Now, there are characters that are created to project these images back at us now. And I say back at us because we are only mirror images of ourselves. Reality and life is only mirror images of ourselves. And so we see the light that we project into the world. We see the darkness that we project into the world. And as gods and as goddesses, we have an opportunity to be pro-creators, co-creators within this and make a difference. And make a change. We do have some archive overflow time available to us. Everybody, your mics are still open. If you did have a question you wanted to add and contribute to the show, for those who are also still with me on the phone lines, you got like 8 seconds to press the number one and raise your hand. And I'll also address any questions, comments that you might want to share as we now move from our live show into archive. Is there something else you want to add to the conversation, Paul, before I move to the closing?
Am I on?
Am I, Latoria. Am I,
hello?
Yes, please, go ahead.
So one of the things that I just kind of wanted to add on to, you just mentioned it, how depression and all these things are pop culture, like it's cute to have to claim a social anxiety or nervousness or generalized anxiety and depression, things as trauma and triggers. I think it's important that we recognize that these things are not, they're not something that we should be accepting into ourselves, and that we are saying these things are us. I'm seeing grown adults, 35 and 40. I've had a couple clients come to me and saying, oh, I just realized that I'm an anxious individual. You know, man, you didn't just develop this anxiety, ma'am, in the past 6 months. You know, you are picking up these things that you're seeing, these articles you're seeing online, and because you're reaching a point in your life that's transition, that it may feel difficult pushing you into the next part of your life, the next thing that you have to do, instead of facing it and saying, okay, now it's time for me to buck up and step up to what I'm being called to do, you're assigning it, oh, it's depression. Well, oh, it's anxiety. I'm having a hard time getting out of bed, because what you're getting out of bed to face is difficult. It is hard, but it's not impossible. So we have to stop accepting these diagnoses that we see floating around and ones that we are giving ourselves, because not half the time we're not even going to seek any of the Western doctors or anything like that. We're just saying this is what we are.
That's right.
But we have to stop saying that this is, that these things are okay.
And let me add to that, because you're hitting it right on the head. Early in the show, I said we have to also begin to address the motivation, the reasoning behind it. And these pharmaceutical companies are making millions of dollars off our sickness, off our disease. And so they spend a lot of time and money and promotion into convincing you that there's something happening with you, that there is something that should be going on with you. I mentioned in a previous show, my doctor, and I like my doctor a lot, but she said something that I found really alarming. You know, based on your age and your weight, we have this algorithm that we put into the computer, that we put into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And from this algorithm, it is suggested that you take an cholesterol pill. Because of your age, mm-hmm. you are at higher risk for having a heart attack. However, listen to me now, priestess. However, there's nothing wrong with your cholesterol. And your cholesterol is quite normal right now. But we want you to put you on this prophylactic pill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is money, and this is industry, and the pharmaceutical industry pushing their agenda. And so it's then presented in the commercial. You know, they either ask you why you aren't happy and sexual and active and having a great time and kicking it up and turning it up, you know, or they say you should be happy and sexual and, you know, and active. Why aren't you, or you should be? And they project it at you through the archetypes, through the images. They don't always have to say it. They show it to you. And I've heard and I've read some research and some study on social media. It's said to also have a very similar effect, where people are looking at your great times and your great images and your great events and your pictures taken within the confines of your employment, and then are feeling some kind of way about that, then interpreting their lives and what they are or are not doing. So there are many forces at work are in place to actively get us to feel negative, to feel some kind of way, to feel like, you know, there might be something wrong with me. And at the same time, you got a social media group over here where people support you in that feeling. Well, we all feel that, mm-hmm. and it's a bunch of bullshit, and we all going to be happy and miserable together.
All these memes and articles and pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rather than take those steps that suggest responsibility, accountability, those things that come with title. If you're going to be God, if you're going to be goddess, if you're going to be queen, if you're going to be king, you have to take the responsibility that comes with those roles, that comes with those position.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I'm responsible for me and everything else. I'm responsible for my space. I'm responsible for how much negativity I'm going to allow into this space and how much I'm going to receive. So my incarcerated client says, well, I'm limited in how much control I have over my space. I say, no, you're not. They may have your physical body in a room, in a box, in a particular location, but they don't have your mind. They don't have your heart. They don't have your spirit. And indeed, those places are where the power exists. We started out in that realm, in the realm of the mist. So there's never a place where God can't step up and step forward from within us. There's never a place that we can't co-create and recreate our reality in the image and likeness of God, of Goddess. And we have to be pure and clear in our own godness, if you will. Did you want to add to that? Paul is not talking. He's probably got his phone on mute. Did you want to add to that before I close?
No, that was perfect.
I certainly appreciate you all, everyone who's with us, everyone who spoke with us and shared today. Those of you who listened in and maybe didn't raise your hand, I'm certainly grateful for your being here live with us for Hoodoo, Revolutionary Hoodoo, New Orleans Food Secrets and Recipes. Here on Blog Talk Radio at high noon, U.S. Standard Time. I am going to close with Congo Square, reminding you that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, the Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, and as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, our persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly, we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat, beat, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart beat, heart beat, heart beat at this place beat, heart beat, beat, we beating place in new world space. Beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together. Circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end. Connected together and singing, ringing. Singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with. Hello. Out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit.
Way.
No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades. Eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Be Be. Remember.